joining me now are WNYC reporter Elaine Rivera, who's in Albany, and Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show, who is seated across from me here in the studio. Let's begin with you, Elaine. Aides have been careful not to call this an inauguration, but a swearing-in ceremony. Was that to avoid the appearance of a celebration?
I gather that's the case, and the mood here is exactly that. It's people, there's a sense of relief. People are happy for David Paterson, but it's muted in that they know how he became governor, and they feel they're here to wish him well. But it isn't like the kind of festivities that I witnessed when Eliot Spitzer was inaugurated a year and a half ago.
Well, the celebrations, I'm sure, are still on Wall Street rather than in Albany, where it would seem a lot more unseemly.
That's correct. I mean, there is an undertone of sadness here. There are many people who are disappointed about what happened. Many people are still angry and shocked. But they say that there couldn't be a better person here than David Paterson to take over the reins.
Well, the gavel has started, which means that the speech should start soon. We'll talk more after the speech, okay? Elaine,
okay.
Brian?
Okay, Leonard. Okay, thank you.
Chief Judge Judith S. Kay, Judge Carmen Beauchamp Siparic, Judge Victoria A. Graffio, Judge Susan Reed, Judge Robert Smith, Judge Eugene F. Piggott, Jr., Judge Theodore T. Jones. At this time, I'm also pleased to acknowledge the Attorney General of the State of New York, Andrew Cuomo. It is my pleasure to acknowledge the Comptroller of the State of New York, Thomas P. DiNapoli.
And we are listening to the ceremonies that will inaugurate David Paterson as the next governor of New York. We're listening to Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver right now.
I'm also pleased to acknowledge the Majority Leader of the New York State Senate, Joseph L. Bruno. I'm likewise pleased to acknowledge the presence of the senior senator, the senior United States Senator from New York, Charles Schumer. I'd also like to introduce his partner in the United States Senate representing New York, the Honorable Hillary Clinton. Will offer a prayer.
Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in heaven, we New Yorkers stand before you in a most challenging time. We yearn for divine inspiration, guidance, and wisdom. It is not by chance, nor is it by circumstance, that we are here today. It is by God's divine design. We are all gathered here as witness of history in the making to give honor and blessings to Governor David Paterson and his family and the men and women who will serve alongside with him, together with Assemblyman Speaker Sheldon Silver and Senate Majority Leader Joseph Bruno. God has bestowed leadership on a man who possesses great humility, uncompromising integrity, and devotion to public service, characteristics which are valued above all by the Almighty. Personally, I am proud to share this podium with Governor Paterson. What a truly blessed nation this is when the son of immigrant Jewish survivors of the Holocaust has the privilege to deliver the invocation for the first African-American governor of the state of New York. Over the years, I have come to know David Paterson as a person with genuine warmth and respect for people. He is inclusive. Together with Assemblyman Dov Hyken, he was one of the founders of the Black Jewish Coalition. Throughout his long and distinguished career, David Paterson has been helpful to all communities and participated many times in standing up for the needy, regardless of their background. David sees the image of God in each and every person. In the lexicon of David Paterson, there is no such word as disability. All God's creations are perfect. Some of us are simply challenged in different ways than others. A sign of greatness is one who takes his challenges and sees in them opportunities. Our new governor has 2020 vision foresight. Today we celebrate foresight, looking ahead. There's no one better qualified to take darkness and turn it into light. It is a new day. May it herald a new future. A future where we see opportunity for one and all, for the glory of God and all mankind. Amen.
Amen. The Reverend Monsignor Wallace A. Harris will now offer a prayer.
All rise.
Good and gracious God, you are the God of surprises, the God of wonder, the God of mercy. This morning when I rose up, in the words of the great spiritual, I didn't have no doubt that you would take care of me, you would provide for me, you would guide me. Today we ask that your blessing go upon our brother, the new governor, to take care of him, to provide for him, and to guide him. Give him, Lord, today and throughout his term and life, understanding of your counsel, support of your strength, energy of your spirit, mercy of your indulgence, insight of your wisdom, joy of your pleasure, and the endorsement of your saints. Let him always hear the cry of the poor and the call to life in its fullest. Rescue those unable to survive without him and bless his family. Bless them in their gift of support to him and the strength they must give. Mighty God, your amazement never ceases. Bless his staff. And now we ask you to bestow your amazing grace in this amazing time on our brother. Always raise him up to know your will. Take care of him. guide him, provide for him. And may you, the God who begins all things in good, work with him now that he may bring them to fulfillment. And we ask this in your holy name, let us say, amen.
Please be seated.
This is WNYC and WNYC.org. You're listening to coverage of the swearing-in of soon-to-be Governor David Paterson.
Pursuant to a resolution duly adopted in each of the houses of the legislature, the Senate and the Assembly of the State of New York are met in joint session for the purpose of receiving a message from the Governor of the State of New York. It is my great privilege to present the Governor of the State of New York, David A. Paterson.
Assemblyman Sheldon Silver introducing David Paterson as he enters the room to give his speech. Everyone is standing and applauding. He is accompanied by his wife and his daughter. Judith Kay will be administering the oath of office as soon as the applause dies down. Brian, do you see anything? Oh, here he goes.
State of New York, Judith S. Kay, will now administer the oath of office.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, David A. Paterson, do solemnly swear.
I, David A. Paterson, do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Of Governor of the State of New York.
Of Governor of the State of New York.
According. To the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
He's being embraced, and the applause is a little unusual for an oath of office, but this is an unusual circumstance.
David,
Thank you.
This is the new governor, David Patterson, speaking.
NPR took a DNA test for me, as they did in the program African Lives, and they found a number of hits from Ireland and Scotland. So I want to wish you all St. Patrick's Day. I would like to thank the Chief Judge, Judith Kaye, for administering that oath, the Chief Judge, who I believe will go down in history as one of the greatest Chief Judges the state has ever had. I would like to thank Rabbi Shmuel Lefkowitz, one of my dear friends, for coming and speaking here today, and also Monsignor Wallace Harris, my pastor, for delivering that invocation as well. I would like to thank my colleague in government, who I've now forgiven for shooting me with a water gun a few years ago, the Attorney General of the State of New York, Andrew Cuomo. And I would like to thank a moderately popular controller in this chamber, the one and only controller, Tom DiNapoli. The last time I was in this chamber, I was gaveling in for the State of the State, and Speaker Silver had brought me in here to practice so I didn't destroy anything. In our first year, but in our second year, I told the speaker, don't bother, I know how to do this. And apparently I was about to bring the gavel down on a glass, like this one. The speaker, at the last second, grabbed the gavel away from me, and he told me, in his own inimitable way, as only Shelley can, I would not allow you to turn the State of the State into a Jewish wedding. They had a Jewish hit in there, too, Shelley. Thank you so much for your hospitality and for having all of us in the chamber today. I would also like to thank the members of the Assembly, along with the Speaker, for having us, and the members of the Senate for coming to this swearing-in, and their leader, none other than my good friend, the Majority Leader of the New York State Senate, Joseph L. Bruno. The other day we had lunch, and he said, listen, some evening, if you feel like it, you should come out to the ranch and have dinner with me. I'll go, but I'm going to take my taster with me. I would also like to thank the Senate minority, the conference, from which I first served as a state senator for 21 years, and their very great leader, the man who has moved the conference beyond any place anyone ever thought it could go, the one and only Senate Democratic Leader, Malcolm A. Smith. And I would like to finally thank the leader of the Assembly Republican Conference in the New York State State Assembly. He asked me the other day when he came by the office, do you still play basketball, David? I told him, I don't play basketball, Jimmy. I teach basketball. Maybe you'd like to come by for a lesson sometime. Jim Tedesco, Assembly Minority Leader. After some very difficult surgery, I don't know if I am touched by the appearance of anyone else here today, than to have back with us our former governor, George Pataki. The governor is looking very well, and he's getting a lot better. Also with us today is former Governor Hugh L. Carey, everybody. Please greet former Lieutenant Governor, you know I had to get the Lieutenant Governors announced, Stan Lundeen. And a very good friend of mine, and to all of you, our former Comptroller, Carl McCall. We have with us today both of our United States senators. And we would like to present them right now, the senior senator from New York, and, of course, arose from Brooklyn, Charles Schumer. And the junior senator from New York, who has a lot of places to go these days, and I'm so flattered that she would come and join us today, none other than Senator Hillary Clinton. We'd also like to welcome all of the members of our congressional delegation. We hope that they are here. And we were trying to get the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, Charlie Rangel, to come. Is he with us today? All right. Well, he is in our thoughts. He's recovering from a severe case of the flu. Told us he would try to get up here, and so far has not been able to be here. We have with us from New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Former Mayor of New York City, David N. Dinkins. And former mayor of New York City, Edward I. Koch. And we'd like to thank all of the mayors and county executives and elected officials from around the state as well. We have some visitors with us today. We are so, so happy to have with us Governor John Corzine of New Jersey. And Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts. And someone who went through a circumstance somewhat similar to mine has given me advice and come and joined me today, Governor Jody Rell of Connecticut. Governor, how did you do it? I would like to introduce the former Secretary of State of New York and my father, Basil A. Patterson. My mother, Portia Patterson. And my second mom, who serves as Michelle's mother, Kay Johnson. Speaking of Michelle, I want to introduce my wife and lifelong friend, Michelle Paige Patterson. Michelle. Michelle. Michelle and I have a different kind of a marriage. And I learned how different it was going to be about 15 minutes after I got married. I'm sure those of you men who got married, you remember the part about saying I do, you remember the part about taking pictures afterward and then getting in a limousine. But do you remember sitting next to the woman of your dreams and all of a sudden, a little girl comes and sits between the two of you? And I said, Ashley, can I sit next to my mom? And she said, no, I sat here first. How do you convince a four-year-old that you want to sit next to your wife? I tried one more time. I said, Ashley, I just got married. Can I sit next to your mom? She said, get over it, David. And as I've tried to get over it, that little girl has grown up to be my best friend, Ashley Dennis. And finally, I would like to introduce a gentleman who got into the Beacon School, which was his first choice this year. Congratulations to my son, Alexander Basil Patterson, who we call Alex. Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow New Yorkers, in so many ways, we woke this morning to a not-so-ordinary day. But in one way, we woke this morning to a New York dawn that is like everyone that came before it. For today, like we always do, in spite of the obstacles, regardless of the circumstances, we move forward. Of course, I never expected to have the honor of serving as governor of New York State. But our Constitution demands it. This transition today is an historic message to the world that we live among the same values that we profess and that we are a government of laws and not individuals. Today, we can be proud of our democracy. Now look, folks, this has been a very difficult week. But there have been turbulent weeks in New York's past, and there will be anxious weeks in our near future. But we move forward. Today is Monday. There is work to be done. There was an oath to be taken. There is trust that needs to be restored. There are issues that need to be addressed. And all of us, as we set to it, must be aware of one truth that rises above all else. It's that New York families are more challenged today than they even were yesterday. And if we are going to build a viable future for New York, we are going to help single mothers who have two jobs. We are going to have to give children better schools and families who don't have health care some redress. I learned about government right here in this legislature. I studied the same issues and had the same experiences, hopes, and frustrations as so many other New Yorkers. I am chagrined at the high cost of education for my family and the prohibitive price of health care. I have talked to New Yorkers for decades about the crumbling upstate economy, the crush of property taxes, and the lack of affordable housing. These are issues that we will continue to focus and address, but we can do more. I have a vision for New York. It is a New York where achievement is developed only from hard work, where doors are always open, and where anyone can achieve no matter where they live. They call what we do public service for a reason, because it's not politics, it's not parties, it's not power that counts at the end of the day. Those interests can vanish in a moment. It is the service that endures. It is service that is important. It is the service that is our mark. It is our measure. It is our record of performance. My colleagues, all of you in the legislature, those who serve in the judiciary, state employees who work in our great agencies, isn't that what called us to work in government in the first place? Then let us seize that poignant moment. Let us, right here and now, let us grab the unusual opportunities that circumstance has handed us today and put personal politics, party advantage, and power struggles aside in favor of service, in the interest of the people. With the nation's eyes upon him in 1964, Robert F. Kennedy once said, "No matter how talented an individual may be, no matter how much energy he might possess, regardless of how much integrity and honesty he or she may have, if that person is alone, they can accomplish very little." And so, what we are going to do from now on is what we always should have done. We're going to work together. With conviction in our brains and compassion in our hearts, and the love for New York on our sleeves, we will dedicate ourselves to principle, but always maintain the ability to listen. And now we look forward in this great state. We look forward with our eyes very much on the greatness of New York, and we move forward, ever forward, together. To many of you, I am an unknown quantity, but that really doesn't matter anymore. What matters is what we are able to accomplish today, tomorrow, and all the days ahead. It's Monday, and there's work to be done. There's a budget that needs to be passed, and we will pass it. We need a plan to put New Yorkers back to work, and we will provide it. We have to battle the obstacle of doubt and uncertainty, and we shall overcome it. Now, to all of you in this room, I ask you to pause and focus on the problems of our great nation. Our economy appears to be headed toward crisis. In just the last 12 hours, one of the major investment houses with a storied career was sold at 10% of the price that it would have been worth on Friday. The Federal Reserve decreased interest rates by a quarter of a percentage in a desperate attempt to halt a further meltdown. We are looking at an economy that is reeling. And I must say to all of you in government and all of you in business that you must meet with me in the next couple of weeks and adjust our budget accordingly. This may serve as bad news. This may be actions that we are often unaccustomed to taking, but our sworn duty is to uphold the interest of the people who sent us here and to make this state whole again. I believe that we can weather the storm. I have worked most of my life for New Yorkers and fought for New Yorkers. I believe that if we stand together, that our collective talent will bring us to a better period. We don't know the path yet, but that's because we haven't blazed the trail. And I think you all know that I know a little bit about finding one's way through the dark. Let me tell you a little about myself. I was born in the borough of Brooklyn. I was educated on Long Island. Harlem is my home where I... This is where I learned love for family and appreciation for community. I have confronted the prejudice of race and challenged the issues of my own disability. I have served in government for over two decades. I stand willing and able to lead this state to a brighter future and a better tomorrow. Let me reintroduce myself. I am David Paterson, and I am the governor of New York State.
This is WNYC and WNYC.org. We're listening to the inaugural speech of new Governor David Paterson of New York.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you New Yorkers and our visitors, for coming here today and by your presence, giving New York a strength that we need at this time of transition. But we, as New Yorkers, can achieve. We are Asian, white, Hispanic, and black. We are upper middle class and social service customers. We are homeowners, landlords, tenants, cooperators, and even the homeless. We send our children to public and private schools. And yet, New Yorkers, in spite of the perceived problems inherent in our differences, We have an immense opportunity if we start to look at who we are, what we are, and what we can be. God bless you all for coming today, and God bless the great state of New York. Thank you very much.
David Paterson giving his inaugural speech as the new governor of New York State. And joining me now are Elaine Rivera, who is a WNYC reporter now in Albany, and Brian Lehrer is in the studio with me here. He is the host of The Brian Lehrer Show. And that had to have been the funniest inaugural speech ever delivered by a governor, almost a stand-up speech. Important, Brian, because it was a way of introducing himself as a few new governors have had to?
Absolutely. David Paterson is that kind of guy. I think we will hear that kind of humor in his speeches on a regular basis. It really is who he is. And I think under other circumstances, people may have found it almost inappropriate for a new governor he calls it a swearing-in, not an inauguration, because he doesn't want to seem pretentious. But to take such a long time going person by person through his family and cracking jokes about him. But in other circumstances, the governor would have been elected after a campaign. So we would have seen campaign commercials introducing him to the public. We would have seen free media news coverage introducing him to the public. Here, David Paterson, for most people in New York, had to really do it in one speech.
Elaine, how different was this speech from Eliot Spitzer's when he became the governor?
Well, you know, as everyone knows by now, Eliot Spitzer started out his inaugural speech by insulting many people. And it resonated, and people felt it started his term on a bad note. But with David Paterson, this is quintessential David Paterson. I've heard actually some of these jokes before at other campaign events, and he said he knows who he is, and he's not going to change that much. He made that comment last week, and he did say, I interviewed him last year, and he did say, you know, he may have had moments of levity in this speech, but when I talked to him about where he developed his sense of humor, he says it was from his disability and all the ridicule that he faced as a child, and he realized levity comes from pain. And of course, for him, I'm sure it was a very painful week to see his friend, Eliot Spitzer, his governor, stumble and have to resign. And so, you know, here he's using that levity to try to deal with the pain.
Do you think that it did endear him to this incredible crowd that was assembled to celebrate this with him?
Oh, yes. I think people do. After this week, after the shock and anger and, you know, despair at some moments, I think people need to laugh, and they need to be hopeful. They need to see someone who not only seems capable but is willing to get along with people. And it does lighten the moment.
Brian, he talked about being as bipartisan as possible. Do you think that most politicians will say something like that, but do you think it means something different with someone like David Paterson?
Well, one thing on the sense of humor first. He started with the story of almost breaking a glass with a gavel the last time he wielded one in that chamber, which was a joke on his own blindness. Mm. And that kind of thing makes people comfortable with him to whatever degree there would be awkwardness with a new governor and a new governor with a disability like that. As far as reaching across party lines, he asked to put party and power struggle aside, which, you know, everyone says in an inaugural address. Eliot Spitzer said it, even as he took some shots at people. But he also sounded, Paterson did, like he took a swipe at Spitzer afterwards in a way that he said, you can't accomplish things alone. So he did it subtly, but he definitely sent that message.
We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you both so much. We've been listening to live coverage of the swearing-in ceremony of New York Governor David Paterson. And my great thanks to Elaine Rivera, who has been reporting from Albany, and to Brian Lehrer, who joined me in the studio here. We will take a quick break, and then we'll return with our regular programming with Benjamin Black, a.k.a. John Banville. Stick around.